We've seen in the New Testament that the early Christians came together to worship God. They assembled together. Congregations assembled to worship God together in public. And we've also seen that God set aside a special day when Christians as a congregation were to worship Him and are to worship Him today. That day, of course, is the first day of the week. But still, there's a question. What did they do when they came together? And what are we supposed to do when we come together to worship God today? Did God say that there were certain rituals or ceremonies that they were to observe as a group? Or did He just give them liberty to do what they wanted to do in worship? Does God require that there are certain things, that there is a certain way that we are to worship Him today? Or does He just leave that up to us to do anything that we want to do? Well, folks, think of it in this way. If God says that there is a certain time that we are to come together, if God went to that trouble, so to speak, and if God also requires in many passages that we do come together, doesn't it sound reasonable that God would tell us what He wants us to do when we do come together? Would it seem reasonable to say that God wants us to come together and that He says there's a certain time to come together, but then He doesn't even tell us what He wants us to do? Well, the New Testament tells us what we're to do. It tells us what the early church did, and it tells us what we are to do just like they did. Now, all of these lessons in this particular set of four lessons fit together. We began with the question about Old Testament worship and what God teaches us from the Old Testament about authority in worship, about doing what God said to do in worship, and the warnings that are given in the Bible about changing worship. And we've learned from the Old Testament that from the beginning, in Genesis chapter 4, going all the way down to our time, God has always expected men to worship in the way that He said. Then we looked at the question, does the Bible even talk about going to church or assembling together in what we call church or worship services? Yes, it does, in many passages. Then we raise the question, is there a certain day? Is there a certain time when God wants us to assemble together for a special corporate worship service? Yes, there is, the first day of the week. Now the question is, what are we supposed to do, according to the Bible, when we come together? How are we supposed to worship God? What are the rituals or observances that the New Testament gives us? We know that we're not under the Old Testament, so we're going to have to go to the New Testament. We don't go back to the Old Testament and say, well, they offered animal sacrifices then, so why can't we do that today? Well, because we're under the New Testament. And so let's go to the New Testament to see what New Testament worship is in the church. We're going to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, first of all. The book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And here in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, you find that the Corinthians were abusing the Lord's Supper. That's the first thing that we want to talk about. God has said that when we come together on the first day of the week, we are to observe the Lord's Supper. That's the reason that we come together on the first day of the week, according to Acts 20, verse 7. The Bible says, and upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread. Why did they come together? To break bread. The purpose of their coming together was to break bread to observe the Lord's Supper. So as long as and every time that we come together on the first day of the week, we ought to have the Lord's Supper. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 20, that Paul was correcting this abuse in the Corinthian church. You see, what they were doing is this. They were bringing other food into the worship assembly, and they were turning the Lord's Supper into a common meal. They had other kinds of food, and they were making it into a usual meal that they would have any other time. So Paul tells them in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 20, when you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, everyone takes before other his own supper, and one is hungry and another is drunken. That's obvious by the way that verse 20 is worded, that the real purpose, that God's intent for them to come together into one place was to have the Lord's Supper. But they weren't coming together to have the Lord's Supper. They were coming together to have a big meal together. They were coming together to have their own supper. And Paul said that is wrong, especially because you have some rich and some poor in that church. And that means you've got some that are hungry and you've got some that are full in that church. And that's what he goes on to say in verse 21. So Paul points out that the Lord's Supper is a special observance. And the Bible says in verse 23 that he went back to that night when Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper. And he said in verse 23, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread," that is the unleavened bread. "And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me." And in verse 25, "After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me." Now, there are a lot of questions about the Lord's Supper. And in the next set of lessons, we're going to look at some questions about the Lord's Supper. For right now, all I want to do is to point out that this is something that was done in the worship services on the first day of the week in the early church. And it is to be something that we are to do today in the worship service on the first day of the week. Now let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and here we find that the church at Corinth had people there that spoke in tongues, that were prophets, that were interpreters. There were people there with miraculous gifts. And what was happening was this. These people were showing out in the worship services, especially the people that had the gift of speaking in tongues. And so Paul has to correct them about this. He's already corrected them about abusing the Lord's Supper in the worship service, and now he's going to correct the abuses of the rest of the worship service. And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, he talks about different parts of the worship service. He talks, for instance, about praying, and he talks about singing. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 15, he said, "What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also." Paul is not talking here about understanding what he was praying and understanding what he was singing. Oftentimes today, people look at this verse and say, well, we need to understand what we're singing. We need to pay attention to the words so that we'll sing with the understanding. That's not what he has in mind here. That's not the context. In this passage, Paul is talking about other people understanding him. That's what he means with the understanding here. Because you see, he's talking about these people at Corinth who were speaking in tongues in the worship service, and there was nobody there to translate. And so you had people in the audience who didn't understand a word of what they were praying. They didn't understand a word of what they were singing, and so they couldn't join in. You see, public worship, worship in the worship assembly of the church, is what we call the corporate worship. That means that we join together. We come together and we join together and we blend our hearts and our voices together in song to God. But if you can't understand what somebody else is saying, then how can you join in? But this shows in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 15, that they prayed in that worship assembly, and it also shows that they sang in that worship assembly. Now then, we have something else in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, going down to verse 31. Here Paul says, "For ye may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be comforted." Now, what was this prophesying? Well, that was speaking by revelation of the Holy Spirit. Prophesying means that these people had the gift of prophecy and they would speak. They would teach and preach in the worship assembly here in 1 Corinthians 14. This is not a Bible class. This is where he says the whole church has come together into one place, verse 23. Now, in that setting, the Bible says that there were certain rules of order that Paul said that they were to observe. They were not to speak over each other. There were not to be three or four prophets or tongue speakers speaking at the same time, because you can't understand in a setting like that. So Paul says you can speak, but one at a time. Now, what does this show? Well, it shows that preaching was a part of the worship service, and it is to be a part of the worship service today. Preaching the gospel is a part of public worship. They did it then, we are to do it today. The Bible many times talks about preaching the gospel. Now, of course, we can preach the gospel outside of the worship hour. We can preach the gospel to people who are sinners and people who are saints. But in the worship assembly, remember that the Bible says in Acts 20, verse 7, that when the disciples came together on the first day of the week to break bread, Paul preached unto them. It was understood that when they went to church, when they assembled together for worship, that they would have the preaching of the gospel. Now then, let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 16, and we're going to look again at verses 1 and 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 and 2. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God has prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. Paul said that the collection is to be taken on the first day of the week. And the reason that he said that it was to be taken was so that when he came to Corinth, he would not have to go from house to house gathering this contribution. They assembled together on the first day of the week. They contributed on the first day of the week. And that is the collection that he's talking about here. So we've stayed in the book of 1 Corinthians to use this one congregation as an example of what these early congregations, what these early Christians did when they assembled on the first day of the week for worship. What have we seen? Well, in 1 Corinthians 11, the Bible says that they assembled together to have the Lord's Supper. They had the unleavened bread and the fruit of the vine, and they observed the Lord's Supper. We also saw that there was singing in these worship assemblies. Now, that again is consistent with what the rest of the New Testament teaches us. We find in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19, that Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus, which was miles away, and he told them that they were to be speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in their hearts to the Lord. He wrote the same thing to the Colossians, an entirely different congregation, but the same instructions. He said in Colossians 3, verse 16, that they were to be teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So again, folks, it all fits together. It's all consistent. Thirdly, we saw in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 that when they came together in the worship assembly, they prayed. Fourthly, we saw that when they came together in the worship assembly, there was preaching. This is what we find in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, where some of the people who were taking the lead were speaking out of turn, and Paul sets everything in order there. Now, the word preaching is not specifically mentioned there, but it's obvious that's what they were doing. Just like Paul preached to the people in Acts 20, verse 7, they had the teaching and the preaching of God's word in the worship assembly in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And finally, in 1 Corinthians 16, we find, fifth of all, number five, that they gave, that they took up this collection, that they took up this contribution on the first day of the week in the worship assembly. Now, these are the things that these early churches in the New Testament did when they came together for worship, and these are the things that we're to do in worship in our time as well.